The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Our goal as offense is to score every time we touch the ball. We have a mentality on the O-line. It starts with us and it ends with us. We're going to have to put the team on our shoulders and win the game. That's our philosophy. It doesn't have to be like that, but that's our philosophy. Whether defense is making plays or they're not making plays, whether offense is making plays or not, we have to do our job, and that's what we're focused on. There's going to be some shootouts in some games, and we like that. We want all the smoke. I want the fight.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody on the offensive line will answer any differently. They're going to – we're born to fight, take the weight, and move people.
This is the Inferno Podcast. It's the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place every week for an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode is brought to you by Pearl River Resort. Welcome into this week's edition with the Inferno Podcast, Season 2, Episode 6. We are rolling along. Football season is rolling along. Bunch of sports happening, but we got a lot of football to talk about today. Today's episode rundown is brought to you by Legacy Credit Union, the official credit union of UAB Athletics. How about that game against Navy? You had not one, two lightning delays. You had a halftime. It took 2.5 hours in between, and the Blazers did not flinch. They played very well against Navy. We'll talk about that. Also, Game 3 coming up with Akron this weekend, the Zips, and it's a pretty good one to come in, get better before you play Tennessee. Of course, we'll be talking about that a lot in the future. Our Blazer of the Week, Adam Lepkowski, is here. He's a outstanding local product from Hoover High School. Fun guy to hang around, so we'll talk to him as well. Remember, you can follow us on YouTube and Twitter, wherever you get the UAB Inferno podcast, all the places. And remember to like and subscribe and, you know, check us out there and be sure you're getting those alerts as to when the podcast come out. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with our Blazer of the Week, Adam Lepkowski, here on the Inferno podcast. Stay with us.
Trent Dilfer here, head football coach of the UAB Blazers. Get out there and tackle your financial goals with a new credit card from Legacy Credit Union. Legacy offers multiple credit cards for whatever your financial objectives are. You can begin earning rewards today with a credit card from Legacy Credit Union. Legacy, the official credit union of UAB.
Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast. Scott Griffin here. Time for our Blazer of the Week. And he's an interesting cat from locally here in Birmingham, Hoover High School. And Adam Lepkowski joins us, the guard here on the offensive line. How's it going?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing great.
Yeah.
Are you sore?
A little bit. I'm not too beat up. Just got some scrapes, bumps, and bruises, but I'll be all right.
So let's start there. As a lineman. It's just different, isn't it? As far as Sunday, Monday, it's not like a wide receiver who may have had four catches. You guys are smashing pumpkins every play.
It's really – I've seen comparisons like offensive linemen are going through a car accident every play. You know, you're getting the same force as a car accident. But, you know, Coach Lyle, the strength staff, you know, they train us to be able to maintain our bodies and – keep from getting hurt from those car crashes. But it's really just trying to get your body right after the game, because that's when all the pain hits. You don't have the pain in the game.
Yeah, that adrenaline's going.
Yeah. And then right after, it's just like a boom, just smacks you all at once. And then that plane ride, too, you feel everything. Every little bump, just boom, everything.
So as big guys – and I'm sure you've been big most of your life, right? You've probably played offensive line
Yeah.
most of your life.
Uh-huh.
All right, so you're used to it. So you know you got to hit every play.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good thing? Is that bad? Is that a mental adjustment? Or
I just think it's fun. I mean, hitting people every play. I used to want to run the ball, but then I realized I don't have good hands, and I got sweaty fingers, so it's just going to slip out.
Yeah.
It's like a piece of butter.
You do have to hold on to the ball.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, yeah. I do play center, so
yeah.
I guess I can. I don't have too slippery, but
yeah.
They made me take my glove away. They took my glove away because I used to snap the glove because I didn't want all the scars and
whatever. Right.
You call me a wuss for that, but Coach Matt said my hand got too slippery because I was getting too sweaty, and the snaps got a little high. And then he's like, "Hey, let me see your glove real quick." Grabs the glove and he just throws it behind him, and he's like, "All right, now go snap without it on."
And that was it.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, that was 3 weeks ago, and I'm still mad about it today.
So you felt like you did okay with a glove?
Yeah, I feel like.
So what did he do that for?
I think he felt opposite.
Bobbled snaps, or?
Yeah, maybe I had some high ones when later on in practice when it got wetter, but I think it was just the glove because it was an offensive lineman glove. It didn't have any stick to it. So.
Yeah.
But I think it's for the best. I'm not complaining. I'm just throwing cheap shots out to Coach Matt.
What, was that something to get used to?
Not really, because I used to snap with a bare hand anyway. But with the glove, it's the same. You just don't have as much feeling. On the ball, but with your hand, you can feel the grip more and just adjust your fingers if you need to.
Do you wear a glove on the left hand?
I do. Yeah.
So now you're one gloved,
mm-hmm.
like the old Michael Jackson stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's kind of weird.
I had that's gonna be in my new tutty celebration.
Is it, is it really? When you score a touchdown?
Yeah. I thought during the game somebody. I don't know if it was a fumble. I just saw the ball on the ground. They batted down a pass.
Yeah.
And I saw the ball on the ground, and I was going. I was like, ooh, maybe I could. I look up. I see the end zone a little bit. I was going to try to scoop it, and I see Isaiah Jacobs right in front of me trying to grab it. I'm like, oh, crap. So then I just jumped on it. But it was a dead ball anyway, and I just looked like an idiot. And the same thing happened in the first game too. Oh. That was
maybe one day.
That was embarrassing. Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe one day.
If you, not that you want your teammates fumbling in the end zone.
No, please. Could please happen. Do not.
Could happen.
No, no turnovers.
Let's talk a little bit before we get to your background this year, because I think you guys have just been crazy competitive. Winning mm-hmm. the first game, dropping 52 on Alabama State.
Mm-hmm.
This game, 24 on Navy, but tight game all the way through. I know the goal's not competitive, but normally you have to be competitive
mm-hmm.
each week, obviously, before you win like you want to. You agree with that? And you've sensed that happening.
What do you mean by
being competitive? At Hoover, you guys had already been to that stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't go from having a year like last year where things went wrong, let's just be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got to be in game. Like Saturday, you lose, but you're in that game.
Yeah.
That's competitive
uh-huh.
to me, as opposed to it being 41-3 and you weren't even close to being competitive. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Well.
And if you don't feel that way, be honest.
I would say, I mean, it's always a competitive mindset, but, you know, our goal as offense is to score every time we touch the ball. You know, we have a mentality on the O-line. It starts with us and it ends with us. You know, we have to lead the team. You know, we're gonna have to put the team on our shoulders and win the game. That's our philosophy. It doesn't have to be like that, but that's our philosophy. Whether defense is making plays or they're not making plays, whether offense is making plays or not, you know, backfield, we have to do our job, and that's what we're focused on. And we know there's gonna be some shootouts in some mm-hmm. games, and we like that. We want all the smoke. You know, like a boring game, you know, just 42
boring to
zip.
You, right?
Yeah. I mean, like I want the fight.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody on the offensive line will answer any differently. They're gonna, we're born to fight, take the weight, and move people. You know.
Yeah.
And that's just I think our philosophy on games like that.
So, did it help coming from Hoover High School where you're expected to win? You've got to win. It's kind of understood. You don't even have to learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
You just practice it every day and do it. Has that helped you here?
I would definitely say so. I mean, I think they instilled a mentality of, I know that sounds cliche, like greatness, mentality of being great and pursuing great, making yourself better 1% every day. Where championships were the expectation, you know, not just like a hope, you know, it's, we're expected to win. And I think taking that mentality from high school to being a walk-on at UAB, like my goal, my expectation is I'm going to earn a spot on the scholarship, get a scholarship, and then play. And that's kind of where I think my mentality came from. Coach Niblett and my offensive line coach, Coach Haley, they just teach me or taught me, like, people are always going to see you as underdog because our offensive line at Hoover was very small. We weren't I was the tallest one, and I was 6'2". Maybe more like
there were no 6'5", 2'8".
Yeah, we didn't have those monsters like we did years past. But we took on a similar mentality. You know, we're just going to run the ball and run you over in the process. And having that big weight on our shoulders of the expectation of winning championships, it was do or die. You just had to do it, you know.
So when you came out, I'm assuming you had offers, but you choose to walk on. Am I correct in that? You had some? None?
I wouldn't say offers.
Interest?
Yeah, I would say interest.
Okay.
I had a lot of D3 schools. I went on a couple visits. A GA from Tulane asked me if I wanted to walk on. Never heard anything from him. Samford called me up. I was talking to Samford, and they said, we don't have any scholarships open right now because it was 2021, and everybody got an extra year eligibility.
Got back.
So there wasn't a whole lot of roster spots open, and I was listed as a tackle. So I was undersized as a tackle, and I think what was it, Columbia College or Columbia University. I was talking to them for a little bit, and then they said I was just not the right size for a tackle. And I was like, well, I play offensive line. I don't play tackle. You know, I mean, I like tackle because I felt more of like a skinnier guy. I feel like the middle three are the fat ones, and look at me now. You know, I'm biting my. Bite my tongue. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So you choose UAB.
Mm-hmm.
Division One.
Yeah.
Normally, if you walk on, you've had other offers, but you just want to play Division One. But you choose Division One UAB. Why?
Well, number one, I wanted to be close to home. And then I also wanted to win championships, you know, with Coach Clark. You know, just coming off of a 2020 win, Conference USA championship. I was like, well, that looks pretty good. It was really when I decided to play at UAB, it was either a walk-on at Samford, walk-on at UAB. UAB was a little bit cheaper for my parents. So
Division I.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess so. That was kind of a big being D1. That's what my friends say. They called me D1 when I committed and kind of got to my head.
But,
really, also, I took a visit, not an official like football visit, but just a school visit to UAB, and I really liked the campus. I felt like I was still downtown, but also secluded from downtown. It wasn't.
You had your own area, right?
Yeah. So I liked that part about it. And then Connor Harvey, he transferred to Hoover like right before we started our season because he moved from Florida, and we were talking, and he ended up getting a walk-on to UAB as well. So then I was like, well, might as well come with you too. And I just felt like I could play too. I felt like I was just under-recruited.
Right. You had a confidence in yourself.
Yeah, I wanted to prove people wrong, I'd say.
And you have. Now, it took, what, a year and a half, a couple of years maybe?
Yeah, 2 years.
To get it going, did you need to get your body a certain way? And then tell me how that happened where 2023, you start basically half the season.
I'd say 2021, I had to get stronger. I was Definitely. I couldn't bench 225.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I couldn't bench 225. I didn't hit puberty till I was halfway through junior year, or maybe the start of junior year.
225?
Yeah. And then, okay, don't make me feel so bad about that.
Well, I mean, you're way up. No, but yeah. I think that's amazing.
Uh-huh. But I had to get faster. I had to kind of clean up a little bit. I wasn't fat, but I knew I was going to play D1 football, and so I just gained a bunch of weight, not the right weight. And so then
right, you're just saying I got to have weight.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So then I had to cut a little bit and then just change some eating habits. And then just get a little bit more lean and clean and then gain that weight back in muscle mass. So
Gotcha.
I think that took about 2 years. Being a developmental lift definitely helped. We have like a separate lift for the younger guys. So I did that for 2 years. Got pretty strong or stronger. I wouldn't say pretty strong. But then I think last season after my injury, I really got I increased my strength a lot, I feel like. Because all I did was just work out every
day.
That's
all you could do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then definitely got more flexible. And I definitely noticed a way more of a change in spring ball because of that. So, but I mean, I'm still developing. You know, I can always get better. But I think what made me show, like what showed me out the most was just being able to keep going after being tired. You know, fatigue makes a coward of us all, so
right,
it took me longer to break than the rest of other people.
Well, you had that carrot, you wanted to
prove
to yourself I want a scholarship, I deserve it, right?
Yeah, that was definitely part of it too. And I just wanted to show that I guess the carrot thing.
Yeah,
I didn't want to be known as just a walk-on. Like, I wanted to be, that guy's just a walk-on. Like, he sucks. He's going to be on the practice squad all 4 years. I wanted to know, I'm going to use this time here. I'm going to get better. I'm going to train with the ones because we have crossover, you know. And you're going with the best guys on the team every day for 14 weeks, you know. Like, you're definitely going to
– Yeah.
Get way better, and I think that's what I did. And I really settled into being a center from moving to tackle to center, and I think that's definitely how I got better as a player.
Yeah,
you know.
So we joked about it, but you are touching the ball every play.
Yeah,
The other guys don't get to do that. So and it's pretty important, but also kind of pressurized, especially these days with the spread. I mean, you know, under center just doesn't happen. And it's like kicker, right, or holder.
Yeah.
You take for granted a snap's going to be right until it's wrong.
Yeah.
Then it's what happened to the –
it's
a lot of pressure.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I used to be really nervous because my freshman year, when they told me you're not tall enough, you're not long enough to play tackle, we're going to put you at center because I think they wanted more smart people.
Right,
center.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Sounds great.
I don't know if they chose the right guy for smart. but it was over the QB's head every time in practice. They took away the actual football and then gave me a deflated ball, and I would just chuck it back there, and the quarterback would already have it when I was on the practice squad.
Yeah.
But then I just kept doing it 100 snaps a day. More like 50, but snapping every day and training on steps with the snap. And now I just don't really think about it that much.
Yeah, and you can't really, from what I understand, talking to any snapper, long snapper or center, if you think about it, you're screwed.
Oh, yeah. Because
you just want to snap it hard to go, right?
Uh-huh. Well, if you're thinking about your snap, you're not thinking about your assignments. And
this guy's a foot from me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You're not thinking about who the mic is or what – you're not telling all the offensive linemen where to go and what to do. And then you're not trying to decipher the defense, whether a blitz is coming or not, from what side and what I need to call for protections, you know. But if you just you can't think about it, because then it's going to get in your head, and then you're going to actually have a bad snap.
Yeah.
And that's just what I do. I just don't think about it. You know, just I just say, hit my spot, and then I'm
and go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Adam Bukowski, our guest here, redshirt junior from Hoover High School. So you start, you work your way up, you start those handful of games, basically half the year, 23, get injured. So you talked about how you got stronger. What about the mental part of it? Did that taste of starting just fuel you like a freak, right, during the during the injury? Because I would imagine if you had not had that taste, you know, and you know how injured guys are. They're kind of you're not away from the team, but you don't feel a part of it. You got to kind of do your own work, right? Did that help you that you had that taste of starting?
I would say so, yeah. After getting hurt and realizing, well, I got hurt the first time. This was the second week of fall camp. Got stepped on in goal line. Hurt my foot pretty bad. Was out for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
We're on our bye week right after Arkansas. I start coming back into practice. The last play of practice, I get hurt on the same – it's the same injury again. I just kind of redid it. And then I had the decision to make whether I wanted surgery and miss spring ball and miss the potential of fighting for a starting spot, or just, you know, deal with it and just try to get rehab in and recover and then go back to being – or and then go and practice in the spring and fight for my spot. And so I decided not to get the surgery and battled pretty hard in the spring. Thankfully, nothing happened. And then still going pretty strong with, no injuries as of right now.
And you got your, scholarship earned.
Yes.
Was that a moment like we see on social media where
it is on social media.
All right, so it was a moment. Tell me about it.
So it was it was 2023, Coach Dilfer's first year. Prior to that, when I found out Coach Vincent was not returning and my offensive line coach, Coach Cam, was not coming back either, I was like, well, there goes all my hard work. I'm not going to get the scholarship. I was just talking really negative. And my mom and my dad just told me to pray about it. I talked with them about it, and they said, you know what, just stick it out for another year. And, you know, I just proved myself to the coaches that, you know, I was there to play, to stay, and try to be an asset to the team.
Right.
And then, so the last practice, or after the scrimmage on fall camp, they brought us all up, and then Coach Dilfer started talking about the portal. He was saying, there's however many people in the portal right now, and I told the recruiting guys, stop looking, because I have three people on the team that are better than anybody in the portal. And then he said, I think it was Charlie Goode first, and then he said me. He said, it's also you, A-Train. And at that moment, I kind of knew he was going to say my name. I just had that feeling, you know. But on the video, I immediately started crying. It was pretty – but it was just a big full circle moment.
Of course.
And I called my mom, my dad, and as soon as I heard my mom's voice, she started crying too. And it was just it was most joyful and most fulfilling moment that I've experienced in my life. It's just that point where all your hard work, you know, pays off. But it's not.
You see the fruition of it. Everything you hear happened.
Because I was just... You're putting in so many deposits in the bank. Yeah. You know, at some point you got to be able to take it out.
Right.
And I was getting frustrated, like, when am I going to be able to take some money out and withdraw, you know?
Yeah.
And that was, that was a really special moment for me. And then also starting too, but I was expecting that.
Yeah. But getting the rewarded had to be cool.
Yeah.
Before we take a break and talk about lightning round, and that's where we ask you even more fun questions, like the A-Train thing. Talk a little bit about Navy, big time game, CBS Sportsnet. Not that Alabama State wasn't. You guys won that, and that was an impressive win, holding them off. They scored 42, obviously.
Yeah.
But Navy, it's a team you grew up hearing about, knowing. They're very good. They've got a history. But again, fighting them tooth and nail till the end. And then in a weird game where there's rain delays and storm delays and lightning delays and basically a combined 2.5 hours of delays, then you got halftime. It's just, just a wild deal. How did you handle that?
Well, so after the first delay, or before the first delay, we started, we had a really good vibe. I don't know.
After the delay, you had a good vibe?
Before the first. Okay. After we ran and scored.
Yeah.
I don't know if we passed it the first time. I don't know. But when the first time we scored, we just had there was a vibe in the air like, all right, we're gonna do some damage. And, you know, we're just talking to the offensive line as an offensive line. Just keep doing your job. Keep focused. Bad stuff's going to happen. But we just need to stay together and keep communicating on what we need to do and win our one-on-one matchups as well. Then we had a break. After the first break, the break was about an hour. We come back out, and the vibe was still there. And we still kept scoring. We scored once, and then there was another delay.
Yeah, because it was only longer. 6 minutes, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it felt like a little bit longer just because then we had our second.
Well, I mean 6 minutes of game time before the next play. Yes, yes.
And then after the second break, it was a little bit longer. They fed us a little bit because we thought we were going to be in there for 2 hours.
Wow.
And then there was talks with no halftime, no TV timeouts. And they were going to have like a meeting at this time to decide whether or not they're going to do halftime, excuse me. So
do you take your pads off?
I didn't take my pads off.
Never take your shoulder pads off?
I did not take my shoulder. I just...
Wow.
I did one weird thing. I just put my feet on my locker and laid down. Just keep the pressure off my feet.
Yeah.
And try to get some...
I can't believe you didn't take your shoulder pads off.
Nobody did. That's the crazy thing. Yeah, because we didn't know if we were going out there or not. Because I'm looking at the radar, and there's one little streak of red, and then you see like the time lapse on there. All of a sudden, there was two big blobs of red just around the stadium. So we only got canceled or delayed because there was lightning within the vicinity, eight miles.
Right.
There was no lightning on top of us. It was just around us. So they were trying to decide whether or not.
What do we do?
Yeah. Yeah. It just popped up out of nowhere. And then after that, I think what we had to do, we had to score a touchdown to keep that vibe.
Yeah.
We ended up not scoring, but we had a field goal, made that. And then the defense got some stops, and we just didn't capitalize on it. And I think it's – I don't know if it was whether or not we just didn't have that vibe or some adjustments were made. I think it was the vibe. We just kind of lost it at the end, just being spread out. And, I mean, that's not an excuse either.
No.
It's just the vibe wasn't there at like it was. The vibe was high, and then first break kind of dipped, got back up to it. Second break dipped, kind of got back, but they didn't get at that level.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the bad stuff right there, that last little dip. And we just have to break through the wall and just stay together. And I think after like a loss like that, some teams will break up, but I was really encouraged afterward.
I was going to ask that as the last question before the break, that it has to give you confidence.
Because
you're right there tooth and nail with these guys for 3.5 quarters, basically.
Yeah. Me and Logan Moore were talking about it after. We're like, I'm really confident in our team as a whole, just seeing what we could do. Because Alabama State, they gave us – Alabama State happened, and – we won that game, but I was still, you know, we don't really know where we're at with the teams that we're going to play, like Navy, Army, right. and all those, like conference games. So just being able to see that our offense can do what we did against Alabama
yeah.
State.
Yeah.
Our defense, you know, showing up for us too. I was really encouraged. And then afterward, people were talking just about coming together and staying together. You know, like people are going to count on us to lose, but let's prove them wrong. Like it's us against them, us against the world. And I think that's the best mentality for us to have at this point. It's just prove people wrong. But not necessarily worrying about other people, but just worrying about ourselves and having that chip on your shoulder, like a carrot, you know, mm-hmm. where yep. we have that carrot in front of us. And I think there's still a lot of work to do. We just have to focus on our mentality and getting better every single day. And yeah.
All right. Talking to the A-Train. We'll come back, have some fun with Adam Lepkowski when the Inferno podcast continues.
If in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends. If you can keep an eye on your money along the way. If you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings. When you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank embrace the if in life.
Welcome back to our Blazer of the Week. Adam Lepkowski again, the redshirt junior from Hoover High School. And it's time for the lightning round, one of our most fun times. We think you're going to be fun.
Okay.
So we got to start with the obvious, A-Train. That's normally a nickname for running backs.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a center. Explain that.
I don't know. The story's not as cool as I wish it was.
Well, then forget it. No, I'm kidding.
So no. We usually, as offensive line, when you're a freshman or a transfer, you have to get up in front of the offensive line room and say where you're from, how old you are, your major, and then what would you be doing without if you weren't playing football, and then also any nicknames.
And so it's kind of a lightning round for that.
Yeah.
There you go.
So I didn't have any nicknames. Oh, I didn't have a nickname yet. And I just gave him a big list, like Adam Bomb, A Bomb, A Train, Adam Train, Big Lep, Lepco. But the funny thing is, everybody said, no one ever called you A Train in your life, and we're never going to call you A Train. And then one day in practice, I just hit somebody really hard. I got pushed down, and then I come up really fast. And it was my roommate at the time, Bam Bam, Craig. And I just hit the crap out of him. And he does like a flip and lands on his back. And he's like, dang it, there's A-Train right there. And then everybody started calling me A-Train. And then also I showed people a video called Adam Rumble Run. It was back when I was playing Little League. And I just ran over a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And
so, it was A-Train.
Yeah.
Kind of running back
down. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. There is a connection.
Adam Rumble Run on YouTube. Look it up.
It's got 1.2 million views, right? Now, yeah. Yep. Sure.
YouTube,
sure.
I need my money now, please. Thank
yeah.
you.
So what grabs you about offensive line, and what do you can't stand? This facet of offensive line just sucks. Give me good and bad.
I love being able to hit people, especially being at center and being able to lead and tell which people to hit.
Yeah.
Things I can't stand is you don't get the fame. I mean, I'm not a clout chaser, but I would like to get some like more offensive line love. But, you know, I signed up knowing that I'm not going to get the love.
But you're on a podcast.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
I mean, that's going to, you know, Mm-hmm. Pretty big.
Yeah.
Right?
I've been on one podcast before. It was my own podcast. And
what was it called?
It was
the A-Train Hour?
It was called A-Bomb Podcast. A-Bomb. Like a bomb podcast, but A-Bomb.
Yeah.
It was not good at all. We did it in my dorm room with Connor Harvey's camera because he was trying to vlog at that time, yeah. too.
How many episodes?
One and a half, I'd say.
One and a half? Yeah, so we started halfway through an episode.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was, yeah. We forgot to film the second part. We turned it off because we had to go to football.
I hear you.
And yeah. I don't know where that footage is. You won't find it anywhere.
Yeah, we can't find that.
Oops, sorry.
Good for you that we can't find it. All right, so you're 6'2", 245 coming out of Hoover.
Mm-hmm.
You're eating everything. Give us an idea what you're eating. Anything around?
Oreos, whole milk, PB&J, whole milk. Steak, I guess. It was mainly just sweets. It was not healthy.
Yeah. But your mindset was,
I just gotta eat everything, you know. Those are the ones I can remember, at least. But I was eating a lot more because I was training too, though. I was going to the YMCA every day, but I still didn't know where I was going up until February.
So did that work? Like it does for the average human? We all gain weight.
I think it just took a toll on my speed. That was about it.
Yeah.
But you still have to be fast and quick and agile. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So it's changed now to chicken, steak, beef. Not that you don't have an indulgence, right?
I'm still going to eat Oreos and whole milk. I'm just going to.
So that's the secret?
Yeah. That's how I'm maintaining weight right now. and PB&Js.
So nothing's changed, really.
Nothing's changed. Just my main dishes are a little bit better. My dad got half a cow, so he gives me some stuff. I'll eat some, I'll make some ribeyes, put some prime steak seasoning on them. That turns any steak into the best steak you'll ever have.
So are you grilling at home?
So I'll cook them on the, on a pan. Sometimes I'll grill. I'll cook chicken in the air fryer, mix it with rice, and then have some canned vegetables or some frozen vegetables. Just something quick and easy because I don't have a whole lot of time to cook. I'd rather sleep and do homework.
Right, right. You got to study. So what are you studying?
I just graduated with my engineering design degree with a minor in civil engineering.
But you still got to go to class now.
Yeah, and so now I'm undeclared taking some psychology and health classes. I don't know what I'm going to get my second degree in or if I'm going to go into a master's program.
So what do you want to do when all this is said and done?
I would say own my own product development company, you know, just come up with
like construction?
Kind of sales, but I'm also have a team like a problem solving. Like I would want to be a problem solver. It's either going to be like an engineering company or a product development. So people come to us like, hey, we need a special part. We design it, build it, sell it to them, or just come up with like little knickknacks and gizmos and sell those too.
Yeah.
I haven't really thought too much about it. But I'd really say more of entrepreneurship and running a business too, would also. So I probably should get my MBA.
Yeah.
Now I think about it.
You just figured it out.
Yeah. I did just figure
that
out.
That's why we do this segment. Uh-huh. So that you guys figure it out.
Lightning round.
That's right.
Lightning
Boom. Round. It comes like lightning into the mindset. Uh-huh. No, that sounds pretty good, though. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like a niche.
Yeah. My dad's a salesman, and I think I'd be a pretty good salesman as well. Yeah,
and you could hire him.
I think he's done working. He's about to retire, and he just got himself a new car, and he likes driving that around. He's got a Corvette. It's pretty fun to drive.
All right, so what's in the phone, Spotify? What's the last thing? Or maybe not last thing. Maybe what's the main thing you're hitting up for your vibe? At home or whenever.
Right now, I listen to a lot of Tame Impala. They're like a alternate rock and roll, electronic. They're a mix of everything.
Eclectic is the word you're looking for.
Eclectic.
Yeah.
Never heard that word.
Yeah.
That's
what you're describing.
Yeah, eclectic.
You can use that.
I will. Do I have to pay you every time I say it? Is it like a penny on
it's
the
dollar? Completely free.
Okay. I like that type of vibe. I like rock and roll now. My parents grew up in the 80s.
Like old school?
Old school.
Give me a taste.
We're talking Dave I really Matthews, like Motley Crue.
Motley Crue. So yeah. Real old
I like,
rock
yeah.
and roll.
Mm-hmm. I listen to a lot of rock and roll. I'd listen to a good bit of rock and roll, not a lot. I also like some country music, too. Okay. I like older country, John Denver.
John Denver?
Mm-hmm. Marty Robbins, like Western country.
I did not expect that answer.
Yeah.
John Denver?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, that's surprising. It's a little soft for a sinner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Soft.
But you do have a soft side, right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. I'm very emotional. I'm in touch with my emotions.
Are you really?
No.
So you like Denver, Marty Robbins, who else?
Mm-hmm.
Did you listen to anything while you're laying on the floor with your feet elevated?
I did not. I was listening to
the lightning thing. You did not, really?
No, I didn't. I didn't want to look at my phone because I just wanted to keep my same mindset.
Ah.
I was just really, I couldn't even fall asleep. I was just looking at the ceiling, just thinking about the
did
game.
Some guys fall asleep?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think anybody.
That's a little too relaxed.
Yeah, that's too.
In the middle of a game.
But I mean, I could have been in that position to fall asleep, but I was wide awake. Also. No, I can't say that. Never mind.
I got you.
Yeah. What else was I listening to?
So when do you listen?
I usually listen to rock and roll
besides
before.
Besides driving to school and stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm listening to hardcore rock and roll right before we go out for our pregame stuff. And then right after that, if I do listen to music, I don't always listen to music. I'll listen to more of the calmer music, like the...
Please tell me you're not listening to John Denver before games.
A little bit. I mean, it's just a... Wow. You can't... There's a certain level people play at. Like, some people play at a 10 rage level. Some people play at a 5. I'm more of like a 6...
6.3?
Yeah. Almost like 6.7, something like that.
Okay.
So I would get myself up to 9 and then know, okay, I need to just bring it down. Because then I'm just going to be...
Snapping it over the quarterback's head.
Uh-huh. And,
yeah.
And I need to be level-headed enough where if I get stepped on... Because if you can ask anybody, if I get stepped on, I'm gonna yell at you and say some...
You mean by your fellow offensive
yeah,
lineman.
By my offensive...
That can happen. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I get really upset about that. It's just... It's just my thing. I don't know why it is, but it's just it drives me crazy. It usually tames me when I listen to the calmer music. It keeps me from tearing somebody's head off.
All right, so give me a fact that maybe your best friend doesn't know, but probably does, that would surprise us. That you can say on a podcast that lives for infamy.
There's a couple.
Oh, okay.
I feel like one of them, y'all just can think I'm a nerd. I was in choir.
We already think you're a nerd if you listen to John Denver before the game. So go ahead.
Well, I was in choir for ever since elementary school. I was in choir all the way up till senior year.
That's a great gift.
Yeah, I'm a pretty good singer.
Yeah,
I'd say. At least my mom says. I was in the show choir as well in 8th grade. We got to go to Universal that year, so that
there
was a big part of going.
Yeah.
And I was like the only dude in there, so.
But you dare not let your offensive line guys know that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they've heard me sing before, but I don't.
But you haven't told them you're in show choir.
Yeah. They might think me of kind of a wuss or something, but, you know. Twinkle toes, baby.
So
I can sing, I can dance. This one is a weird story. So this was the summer before my freshman year of college. I was in training with the team, but we were off July 4th week. And I was – the one thing they said before July 4th, our break, he's like, don't do anything stupid. Don't get hurt. I was like, got it, coach.
That's the normal message.
Yeah, normal.
Yeah.
And so I get home, hang out with my family. I mean, they're only 15 minutes away, but it still feels
sure
the distance. And me and my brother are downstairs watching some movie, and I was just being an idiot. I had a toy lightsaber, and I was like, I'm going to hit him with it. So I start hitting him with it, and he pulls – it's one of the fold ones.
Yeah.
So he pulls out all the cylinders in it, the little plastic pieces, except for the last one. And he starts hitting me with that piece. So I grab that, toss that, and I still have the other lightsaber, the end of it, like around my thumb like that. And I pick him up, and he's 3 years older than me, and I was 18 acting like this, which is pretty embarrassing in itself. And the lightsaber's still in my hand when I have him picked up. I slam him on the ground, and the lightsaber goes, hits me in the thumb, and all I feel is just searing pain. I look at it. I'm thinking my thumb is broken, and I just see blood gushing out. And you can kind of see, like, there's a scar around my thumb that...
Please tell me your thumb got...
No, like, I don't have feeling on the inside of my thumb anymore because of this. So I rush up. My brother rushes upstairs. This is like a Family Guy episode where he's like, go get Mom. And he's like, Mom, we need to go to the emergency room. Adam cut his thumb open. So we start rushing over there. And I don't like blood that much. So I start, you know, I'm gonna pass out. And I almost feel like I'm about to pass out. We get there. And the doctor's like, what happened? And I was like, I told him the story about cutting it, and then the next doctor comes in, and then another doctor comes in and asks me what happened. They were telling everybody, you got to go hear this kid's story, and they said it was the craziest story they've like ever had come in. Wow. There from, yeah. That wasn't my proudest moment,
you know.
But and then coming back and telling coach what happened, and then Dan, the trainer, because they had to make a special cast for me.
Yeah.
Because we started fall camp 3 weeks later, and it was still in stitches, and they had to keep gluing it back together because it kept coming undone.
Wow.
Yeah. That is not a place I'd recommend cutting anywhere.
Yeah. And you don't bring that up as why the injury happened. It was just,
yeah.
It was a football injury.
Yeah, football. Yeah.
Actually, football related. Mm-hmm. One final question. So if you weren't playing at UAB, starting center, all those things,
mm-hmm.
What would you be doing right now? Would you be working? You'd be, because you're redshirt.
Yeah, I'd probably be working or trying to work somewhere, get a JOB. I probably want to go do engineering stuff, at least learn a little bit, learn about the business.
Yeah.
Because being football, you can't go to get internships. You just don't have the time, especially with classes. So I'd definitely go and find some experience so I can go be a big boy and get a JOB.
That day's coming.
Yeah. I don't want
to be here before. No?
No. Not Let me get a time machine real quick. Yeah.
All right, A-Train. We appreciate you hanging out. Keep playing good. You guys are, Saturday was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
1-1. I think things are going to happen here. Okay.
I definitely think so.
Good luck the rest of the season.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much for having me on. Yeah. I had a blast.
Thank you. Appreciate it. The A-Train, our Blazer of the Week, Adam Lipkowski. We'll take a break. Come back with more. You're watching the Inferno Podcast.
Trent Dilfer here, head football coach of the UAB Blazers. Get out there and tackle your financial goals with a new credit card from Legacy Credit Union. Legacy offers multiple credit cards for whatever your financial objectives are. You can begin earning rewards today with a credit card from Legacy Credit Union. Legacy, the official credit union of UAB.
Time now for This Week in Blazer Nation, brought to you by Children's of Alabama. As usual, a lot of fall sports to talk about as we go along here. The UAB women's soccer team leads it off this week. They take on Rice at 7 o'clock on September 11th. Women's tennis in the Blue-Gray Classic will be the 12th through the 14th, so keep an eye for that and the results. The men's soccer team taking on top 25, actually number 22, South Florida. That'll be 6 o'clock on September 12th. And then also UAB volleyball in a tournament, the Evansville tournament. They'll take on the host team on the 12th, and then they've got a couple of games coming up. Morehead State on the 12th as well, so a doubleheader that day, and the next day taking on Western Illinois at 11 o'clock. Then, of course, Saturday gets here, and UAB hosts Akron. The Zips come in for a night game at Protective. On the 13th through the 15th, the men's tennis team is at the Sanford Invitational, so they'll be in action playing a ton of matches over there. Back to men's soccer as well at Georgia State in Atlanta. That's a 6 o'clock kick, if you will, on the 14th. Women's soccer also, they're taking on Sanford at 7 o'clock as well. Then the 15th and 16th, the UAB women's golf team at the Velvet Classic. So they'll be going along there as well. So a lot of action here for our Blazer Nation schedule. We appreciate you watching and appreciate Adam Lepkowski for hanging out with us here for this episode of the Inferno Podcast. Until then, until next time, we'll say adieu again and we'll see you next week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.